You're a nummy treat. Come on, talk to Daddy.
Oh, bloody hell, woman. You're cutting off my circulation.
Episode 3 of Naked Spike, the podcast. Here at this podcast, we read the fanfic that is found on the LiveJournal community of Naked Spike. The address is out beside it. Follow the address to the community of Naked Spike for more fanfic, more art, and icons, all sorts of things relating to Spike. Today I've got a fanfic for you from Kitty Alex, and it is called Death of a Scooby. It is read to you by a friend of mine, John Palvich, and John hosts a podcast called Sofa Dogs. You can find his podcast on iTunes. Go visit it and visit his show. It's pretty good. It's pretty neat. Hope you enjoy this episode. Fanfic is rated NC-17. Enjoy the fanfic.
This is John reading Death of a Scooby, written by Kitty Alex for NakedSpike.com. Chapter 1, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Private Alexander Harris was behind enemy lines, and he knew it. He knew his orders from Casper the Friendly Ghost Lady. He was supposed to protect the civilians and scare off the monsters. But when the princess had run off on her own, it got confusing. They had split up to look for her. Catwoman and Hairboy went to search for her in one direction, while he went to search in the other direction, and Casper went to get the librarian, whoever that was. At first, the man had seemed like a civilian. A badly dressed one, but a civilian nonetheless. He had platinum blonde hair and icy blue eyes that stood out against a black clothing and open red button-down shirt. Then the blue eyes changed to metallic gold, and he knew this was one of the monsters that had been terrorizing the city. He shot, only aiming to scare like Casper had told him, but the creature was unafraid. He laughed harshly, his face ripping into the beast he really was. "Look what we have here," the creature said. "You're one of the Slayer's pets. You're the one Angel used as bait. Thought I recognized you." "I don't know you," Private Harris said while tightening his grip on his gun. "I don't even know who this Angel woman is." The creature grinned, revealing all its pointed teeth. "Don't remember me, pet? You know, your dead body would make a good present for the Slayer." "Slayer? Is that some kind of rock group?" The creature took a step forward. "Stay back! Or you'll what? Shoot me?" Private Harris knew he should have killed himself rather than being taken, but he couldn't die a coward's death. Killing himself would be taking the easy way out. The creature would either kill him or it would torture him. He could handle that. It's what he was trained for. Private Harris stood steady and waited as the creature approached. Then the world went black. "Bell," a woman sang. "The bell rings for the kitten. The bell above the church rings even though he is not of proper faith." Private Harris thought he must be dead as the woman continued to sing about bells. His heart beat rapidly in his chest and convinced him that he wasn't. He tried to remove himself from where he lay, but found his hands tied. He opened his eyes and looked at the decaying room around him. The brown-haired woman twirled around the bedroom, singing about his demise, while the creature that had captured him before grinned at him, looking almost human. "Look who's awake," the creature mocked. "Drew told me about your situation. We're all going to wait here until the spell's over." "Spell? I don't know what you're talking about. Torture me, kill me, you'll never get me to talk." The woman glided towards him and ran icy fingers through his hair. He could tell now that she wasn't human either, but a monster just like the one at the foot of the bed. He did his best to avoid her gaze, but blue eyes caught his, and he stared at her mesmerized. "We don't want you to talk, kitten," she cooed to him. "We want you to scream. Miss Edith demands it. She says we must tear the goodness out, or it will carry over. Sleep peacefully now." She ran her fingers over his eyelids. Private Harris had no idea what she was talking about, but he felt drowsy. Soon, he found himself in a deep sleep. He smiled peacefully. He was sure whatever it was, he could handle it. There was no need to worry. Chapter 2, Ritual Sacrifice. Xander found himself slowly waking after having the craziest dream. He dreamed it was Halloween, and he had dressed up like a soldier. Then he really became a soldier and was captured by Spike and Drusilla. He opened his eyes, ready to roll out of bed when he noticed a fiery red canopy overhead. He didn't have a canopy. He struggled to get out of bed, but found he was tied to the bedposts. "Bacchus speaks to me," Drusilla said to Xander, caressing his face. "He requests a sacrifice, but not just in blood. No, we need to make the kitten scream in more ways than fear." He hadn't noticed before, because of the just waking up, but he was lying naked in bed with two mass-murdering, evil, naked vampires. He panicked. Xander tugged on the ropes, trying to break them and escape whatever the two vampires had planned for him. "Hush," Drusilla said, her gaze catching Xander's, bringing him instantly under her thrall. "Hush now. Mummy will take care of you." Xander stilled, and he calmed down as if he was laying in bed with Willow and Buffy instead of Spike and Drusilla. Seeing how calm Xander was, Spike began sucking on Xander's neck while pinching Xander's nipples. The sedated Xander moaned compliantly and arched into Spike's touch. "Good pet," Spike purred to him. "I'll be right back." Spike climbed out of bed and Drusilla took over where Spike had left off. She pinched his nipples hard and raked her nails over his chest. Small droplets of blood welled from the cuts she left, and she sucked on each cut until it healed. Xander moaned louder. He wasn't even sure if he was under Drusilla's thrall anymore. He just wanted more. "Back," Spike said, as he positioned himself in between Xander's legs. Spike untied Xander's ankles from the bedposts and moved closer to him. At the same time, Drusilla took it upon herself to impale Xander's semi-hard cock fully inside her. Spike repositioned them, so Xander's ass was exposed while Drusilla continued to ride him roughly, enjoying the boy's growing erection. Xander screamed out when he felt two slick fingers enter him, unsure whether it was from pain or pleasure. Spike stretched Xander, readying him to be penetrated by Spike's throbbing cock. "Such a good kitten," Drusilla moaned, when Xander thrust up into her. Spike removed his fingers from the boy, and Xander gave a small hiss of protest, which quickly turned into a scream of pleasure as Spike's cock slammed completely into him. Spike timed his thrusts in counterpoint with Xander's into Drusilla, so that with every stroke the boy was either fucking or being fucked. When Xander's hot, living cock pulled down through the vampiress's cool, silken channel, his ass was slammed further into the blonde vampire's hard shaft. Spike shifted so that every thrust hit against Xander's prostate. He was so close and the vampires knew it. Drusilla leaned forward and ripped into his neck, drinking deeply. The intense sensations of fear and ecstasy combined, and Xander came violently into Drusilla, causing her and Spike to orgasm as well. Drusilla stayed on Xander, ignoring the cum running down her thighs. Spike pulled out of Xander and slowly climbed up to lay beside him. When he felt Xander was close to being fully drained, he tore his wrist. He pressed it against Xander's lip, and Xander latched onto it, suckling at it greedily. When the suckling stopped and Xander grew still, Drusilla grinned madly at Spike. "Bacchus is very pleased with us," she said to Spike, reaching a hand out and stroking his cheek. "He accepts our ritual and sacrifice. He promises that our new family will live happily." Spike took Drusilla's knuckles and pressed them to his lips. "If it makes you happy, Poodle, then I'm happy. When our kitten wakes up, let's give him a proper welcome to the family." Drusilla hummed what the stars had been singing to her from the first night they had told her about the Halloween spell. She lovingly hummed the song to their new child. When he woke up, she would sing it to him. But for now, she just hummed. Chapter 3. Secret. It was almost a year since Xander's rebirth at the hands of his sires, Drusilla and Spike. Despite becoming well, Drusilla was still not able to raise a child, so Spike handled most of Xander's training. Today, they watched from the shadows as the new brunette slayer fought a few dozen vampires. For being supposedly such an essential part of the Scooby Gang, it was easy to keep Xander's turning a secret. A well-placed runaway note was enough to keep them from looking for him. He stayed in the factory, mostly, except when Spike took him out to hunt and teach him other vampire-y things. Then Angel lost his soul and the factory burnt down, But still, none of the other Scoobies knew that Xander was a vampire. "See what they're doing wrong?" Spike asked him. "They're letting her lead the fight?" Xander asked Spike, not sure if he had the right answer. "Exactly right, Pet. They're letting her lead the battle. Even when you're on the defensive, you want to be pulling her towards where you want her to go so you have an opening, not the other way around. If she's the more experienced fighter, how would I gain the advantage? You would surprise her outside her comfort zone." "Right again, Xan. Going to let you have a special treat tonight. I can tell you that much." "Sire," Xander said, letting need underlay his voice. "When do I get to fight a Slayer?"
"Soon, Pet. Healed Drew, Blonde Slayer sent Angelus to hell, and we killed the Jamaican Slayer. All our problems will soon be over." "You want the Blonde or the Brunette Slayer?"
"Do you think I'll be ready tomorrow?"
"It's Halloween tomorrow.
Your re-birthday, right?"
"I guess we could give it a go."
"Now, do you want the Blonde or the Brunette? If you don't pick, I'll pick for you."
"Sire," Xander whined, "I'm not a fledge anymore. I can pick for myself, and I pick the Blonde. Her name is Buffy.
I don't know that Slayer. She looks a bit rough around the edges."
"All right, you're calling the shots on this one."
"I am?
Thank you, sire."
"Do you have a plan?"
"Well, I thought that I would start by getting an invite into Buffy's home. Then I would take her mom."
Xander trailed off at the bored look on Spike's face.
"What I meant to say was that I would follow. Then I would use the minions to cause a distraction, luring her away from the group. After she's gone, I would take care of Willow first, then Cordelia, and last Oz. Afterwards, I would wait for her to come back, but stand at a safe enough distance where she can't sense that I'm a vampire."
"Good so far, Pet."
"Then I'd taunt her, and enrage her so it will be easier for her to falter. The more she falters, the easier she will be to be led through the steps."
"Like the waltz," Xander added to prove that he had been listening to his sire's hunting ramblings.
"Then, when her guard is completely down and I have her pressed tightly against my chest, I'll drain her just enough to weaken her and bring the rest home to share."
Spike grinned and pulled Xander into a deep kiss, pushing his tongue into Xander's mouth. Xander moaned softly and sucked, focusing solely on pleasuring his sire. Spike broke the kiss and turned his attention back to the Brunette Slayer. She killed her last vampires. The Slayer looked around, dropped to the ground, and began pleasuring herself with her own stake.
"Bloody hell!" Spike exclaimed. "She's going to be easier than I thought." The end.
"I'm saying that Spike had a little trip to the vet, and now he doesn't chase the other puppies anymore.
I may be love's bitch, but at least I'm man enough to admit it."